Good morning. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. I am Josh Shores, Director of Marketing and Development here at AFI, joined alongside by President Peter Raber.
Morning.
My cohort here, Episode 3. We're digging into some stuff now, right?
We're getting there. Means that we've done it enough that we're going to keep going, right?
We should be good at this by now. But
that's all you take to become an expert, right?
Right.
You don't need 10,000 hours.
No, you don't. We really appreciate everyone's listening and all the feedback. I've gotten tons of feedback and different friends and colleagues. And I know that last week we took some questions, and just to kind of recap some of the things, you know, we talked about how beginners get familiarized with investing. We talked about, you know, apps versus advisors, kind of pros, cons, and kind of that age to risk formula,
right,
is how I put it. I feel like that's an easy way for me to understand it.
Everybody starts there. Everybody has those type questions. So I was glad we were able to get some of those answers out, and we'll be able to go back and reference those for other conversations. But it's everybody has those initial fears, so it's really important to recognize them.
Right. I want to make sure that, you know, if you do have a question, please reach out at connect@AFIAdvisors.com. We will get those questions directly. All of those come to me, and we would love to be able to address what we can here during this podcast. And before we jump into today, this Elon Musk, I feel like he's always in the conversation somewhere about something, and then now Twitter. What's happening?
Twitter, Elon Musk. So anytime you get one of these personalities, you know, we've gone through this with Steve Jobs, Elon Musk. They're just amazing individuals from the way their minds work. And so they're always 3, 4, 5, 20 steps ahead of everybody, it seems like. But what he's decided to do, because he's extremely wealthy and can do this, is to make an offer to buy all of Twitter stock. And so at $54.20, assuming the deal goes through, everyone will be forced to sell their shares back to Elon Musk at $54.20.
See, that's one thing I don't understand. How can they be forced,
right,
to sell their shares? I'm not understanding how that works.
So it's a combination of things. One, he already owns 10% of the company, basically. And the board owns additional amount. But once the board of directors accepts an offer, because the shareholders of a company have appointed the board of directors to manage the company. So if I own one share of Twitter, technically I'm the board's boss. For one share per, you know, as
right,
a percentage. And the entirety of the board would then agree to sell to Elon Musk. And when he made this bid, Twitter was trading down in the 20s and 30s. So it's a significant premium from where it was trading. So there's an economic benefit. So if we think about Jack Dorsey, who everyone associates with Twitter as the main honcho, he only owns about 2% of the
stock. I saw that. Yeah, I read that this morning.
But he's about to get a $1 billion increase in value.
Yeah, it was 900-something million. Yeah.
It's huge. Now, you could argue that, well, no, Twitter's worth $70 a share. Twitter's worth whatever. But Twitter just doesn't make enough money. They haven't figured it out. They're the only social media company, it seems like, of their size or ilk that has not figured out how to make massive amounts of money. They make about the same amount of money as Olive Garden does, if you look at it across industries.
I love Olive Garden.
It's the most non-Italian Italian restaurant that's out there.
I think it's the salad and the breadsticks. That's always what draws me back.
Real question, though. Olive Garden breadsticks, Fazoli's breadsticks.
God, Fazoli's.
Fazoli's if they're fresh.
Right.
For me.
Right.
I don't know what that line is. Like, at some point, the kitchen's like, yeah, just send out whatever else what we've got. And they're not warm. They're not buttery or whatever it is. But you get a fresh Fazoli's breadstick. To me, it's way better than Olive Garden.
I feel like they just sit back there and soak in, like, a vat of butter and
right,
just
You gotta go get your blood work done the day before you eat at Fazoli's. That's right. And then you can
I've not been to Fazoli's in so long. Do they still do the people still come out and bring you bread, like, at your table if you need more?
We actually were just there. That's where Ben and Ian chose to go the other night. Or maybe it was just Ian. We had Ian by himself. And he chose Fazoli's. And I think that went away with COVID. You could still walk up and ask for them.
Ugh.
But, yeah, no one wants to do that. The whole walking around, hey, do you need 6 more breadsticks?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Do you need 2,000 more calories for 2 people? Yeah, just throw it on there. It's fine.
You can't say no to breadsticks.
Right.
I need to go. Fazoli's is in my wheelhouse. Olive Garden is like, if we're feeling fancy.
Right.
You know, we want to be upper echelon.
Fancy. Fancy like, I guess. Then you'd have to go to Applebee's. So,
right. You'd be all right. So Elon Musk.
It looks like it's happening.
So, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah. He will own Twitter. Now, that doesn't mean he gets to do everything. There's still federal laws that will prevent maybe some of the things people are worried about. But you can expect a much more open Twitter as far as what's allowed to be said there.
As far as regulation.
Regulation-wise.
Right. Yeah.
And you can expect a better way of it being monetized, so be prepared for ad revenue to be generated within there. But a lot of the feature changes that people have been calling for, he'll probably just do them. Like, he won't have to ask anyone. It's like, oh, I want a like button instead of this, or instead of a retweet, or I want to edit my tweets. Yeah, I just want to do it. And he can now do that immediately rather than going through the board and public opinion and everything else. He'll just do what he wants.
I feel like I saw a copy or a snapshot of a tweet, and heck, I don't know if it's real. You never know anymore. But it was him. He tweeted something like he's bought it. He's going to shut it down. Facebook is next. Go out and enjoy your day or something like that.
It's all going to come out at this point. So yeah, he likes Twitter too much to shut it down.
Yeah.
Plus, you spend that amount of money to do it. It's going to be expensive.
Well, let's get off the uber wealthy here.
All right.
Let's get back down to us common folk. I had a chat yesterday with my friend Mindy. Her and I are both ambassadors for the Kingsport Chamber here.
Such a great program.
It is. Yeah, it's really good. And I always like to brag on them. I've been involved with several chambers, partnerships, things of that ilk over the past 10, 15 years. And I feel like they really just knock it out of the park. As far as just involvement and, community buy-in.
So good at it.
Yeah, so good at it. But, Mindy had a question, and it may seem like a silly question, but it's not. What is a fiduciary, and are we a fiduciary?
Right.
We hear that term all the time, usually on, commercial speak or something like that. And I think a lot of people don't know what that even means.
It's a term that's gotten hijacked a little bit by marketing.
Uh-oh.
To a certain extent.
Go easy.
But what it really boils down to, and yes, one, we are a fiduciary. We're considered a registered investment advisor by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So because of that, we are by law a fiduciary. Now that's different than a broker. So if you were at a Fidelity or a Vanguard or an Edward Jones, of those type, those are brokerage houses. And they're just two different ways about going about your investing and how you get your advice. But a fiduciary really just means that you are charged with the trust of the people or the money that you're taking care of legally.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we'll also think, if you've served on a charitable board, if you've served in a leadership role of an organization or a church, you're technically a fiduciary of that organization. You're in charge with the trust of that organization. But we're in charge with the trust of the money, and we're required by law to do what's in your best interests. And there's a subtle difference in what a broker does and what we do, is that they're charged with a suitability standard. and we're charged with fiduciary. So that's why you can go to a Fidelity and they can say, you should buy our Fidelity large cap fund. Even if the Vanguard or the Goldman or the T. Rowe Price large cap fund has better performance. Because we've determined that large cap is suitable for you. We know that you need large type companies, the Walmarts, the Berkshire Hathaways, the MasterCards, the McDonald's of the world, Johnson & Johnson's. So that subtle difference allows them to offer products that just meet the generalized goals of what somebody needs. And it's not that you could necessarily lose money doing it that way. It just, it's a different compensation, because if Fidelity puts you in a Fidelity fund, the underlying revenue that's generated in that fund goes back to Fidelity rather than going to T. Rowe Price or Vanguard or somewhere else from an expense side. Fiduciaries, I feel like it's a better way to go, because not that I'm going to be right, but that I have to do my best to put your interests first in front of mine. So I can't, let's say we were talking about Twitter and we made a decision that we wanted to buy Twitter for all of our clients before Elon's bid takes place, because you could still make about $4 a share, assuming that deal goes through. I can't buy it for myself personally until I've made sure that all my clients have bought it. Because fiduciarily, I have a duty to them to get them the better deal. So all of our advice has to go through our clients before we can use it personally. And so I think that's the thing. And it became a marketing thing. I go back to where I started, in that people just said, well, I'm a fiduciary, you should trust me. Well, there's a reason why. And I think it's a really important one. So it's not a bad question. It's a complex one when you get into the weeds and the details. But you're not going to go wrong working with a fiduciary.
Well, so explained like that, you know, then the follow-up question, you know, why would someone use a non-fiduciary or a broker, or why would you even go that route?
You used to, and we were early on, when Dad started the business in 91, you know, there weren't a lot of registered investment advisors in Tennessee, but everything was controlled by the brokers and the brokerage houses and Wall Street. And they wrote the rules the way that it made the most sense for them. As time has gone on and the industry has really opened up and there's a lot of fiduciaries in every single town, you should be using a fiduciary. You could make the argument that going through a broker, you have access maybe to a product, but that's not even normally too big of a problem. Let's say they had a proprietary fund that you could only buy through Fidelity. You can make that argument that, well, I really want that, so I'm going to work with them. But I don't think there's a tremendous reason when you line two choices up to not pick the fiduciary.
Right. Well, no, I guess that's what I'm sitting here trying to think in my head, trying to rationalize, well, you know, why? Seems like a no-brainer, right. I guess.
And there are good brokers out there. So right. You could go to a Fidelity broker who is not a legal fiduciary, who could act in a fiduciary-type way, in that they're going to give you the advice that they feel like they need to give you, and that they're going to make sure that you're put, you know, in the front. But they're not legally required to. So personality-wise, and I would always tell people, work with people you can trust. So if there's a non-fiduciary person you feel like you can trust versus a fiduciary person who you feel is a little shady, even though they say they're a fiduciary, still go with your gut and go with who you trust.
Right. Well, I think that's so important. I know that term gets thrown around all the time, but I would say 8 out of 10, you know, just normal people walking down the street would have no clue what that definition is.
Our industry is beat the drum on it very heavily, partially because it's one of the things that we can hold up and say, here's a clear difference between us and them.
It's a clear difference, but if no one understands what that right. is, it's irrelevant.
Right.
Which is what we're trying to do here.
Trying.
Right. So that, I think that really you know, breaks down some of the verbiage of what we consider a fiduciary to be. But again, it's just that term that's over and over and over again. You see it on all the commercials, all the, you know, email blasts, all the websites, things of that nature. But I think we've got that cleared up pretty good. I do have another question here.
Yeah.
Left over from Tommy from last week.
Since we got to get Tommy in here.
I know, we do. We really do. It's so funny. We were so we get together usually on Monday nights with a small, very small group of friends, and we typically watch, you know, we pick a show like Netflix, HBO right. Max, something, and we just kind of get together and have dinner and watch an episode of the show, and he he confessed a couple weeks ago that he wants to start a podcast, but he wants to, I think his angle would be wrestling.
Okay.
He's one of those.
Which
we call it wrestling.
Wrestling.
Which in
I call them guy soap operas.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's essentially what it is at this point. I'm in
full tremendous talent.
Full transparency. When I was growing up, I loved wrestling. But it's just wrestling when I was growing up compared to now is totally different.
We don't have any Macho Mans anymore.
No. No Macho Man, no Ultimate Warrior, no Hulk Hogan's, even though he'll still limp down to the ring every once in a while for a special appearance.
Right.
But yeah, no, it'd be fun to have Tommy on. He would be a good time, but I know that he was asking, you know, what are the best types of stocks to invest in? And that's like the $1 million question, right?
Right.
I think he's still got a bad taste in his mouth. He's heard about the AMC and the GameStops and the this and the that. And it's just that if you could answer that, everybody'd be rich.
Everybody'd be rich. But I think there's a process of elimination that we could go through on what not to invest in that would lead you towards what you should invest in. Peter Lynch, famous Wall Street guru, often talked about invest in what you know. Warren Buffett says the same type thing. If you don't know how the business makes money, don't invest in it. So if you can't look at a business and understand its business model, there's thousands of other companies that you could go pick. So don't feel like you have to go down rabbit holes that you can't find. So I give an example to a lot of our clients that I can make fun of my dad a little bit on, in that we had a client come to him and say, hey, I'm seeing all these women wearing, and this is early on in this trend, wearing yoga pants everywhere. Early in the trend. I'd like to buy some Lululemon. And dad was like, Lululemon? That can't be a stock name. I've never even heard of it. What is that? And she was like, no, I'm serious. You need to go look and see if this is a viable business. And she was early on, and we ended up buying it, and it did tremendously. And the trend that we've seen played out for the last whatever it is was a business that she knew.
Right.
She knew women were willing to buy these leggings, that they were
$200 yoga right. pants.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
You know, and we have now a huge industry behind it. So investing in businesses that you know and you can understand a lot of times is a good first starting point. But if you're investing in a business because your friend said, hey, I've got this hot stock tip, similar to the AMC, the GameStop, it's got no one on the periphery was really understanding what was going on there. And there was core groups that were moving those stocks back and forth. And if you were trying to just be along for the ride, to me, that's the same as going to Vegas or going to Cherokee or eventually going up to Hard Rock Bristol and pulling the slot machine.
Right.
It's a speculation. It can be fun. It can make you a lot of money. You can lose a lot of money. So for me, that's not an investment. So I try to keep people in the wheelhouses of things that we can look at that business, understand how it works. How are they making money? Will that story continue to make money going forward? So if, you know, you mentioned Netflix earlier. If we were looking at, I think there's, there's either one or three. The story keeps changing. There's three blockbusters left in the world. One. I know there's one in Alaska. But that was
I didn't even know that.
There's at least one left. But that was a dying business. Same thing with, you know, locally, as much as this is going to pain our locals, Eastman Kodak. They had the first digital film copyrights, and they let Fujifilm just run away from it. But if you're in a business that is dying, even if you understand it, your question is, well, am I trying to eke out those last couple years of gains before it goes away? Or I would much rather be in a business that's growing. So if we were looking at something like cybersecurity right now, well, everybody's needing more and more cybersecurity. It's why we've seen the Apples and the Amazons and the Googles all really explode, is because everybody's looking out and saying, these are the companies for the next 50 years. And so you're paying for those. So when we're trying to pick what type stocks to invest in, I try to pick things that I can understand, that I can explain the story, and then if something goes wrong, I'll be able to determine whether to stay in or stay out. Because if something goes wrong in a penny stock that you're just hoping will double, you may have no clue that, you know, their CEO just had an affair and embezzled all the money and moved it away, because there's just no clarity on things like that. So those all fall in the speculatives. So for me, I a lot of times, like I said, I work backwards. Things to avoid, then out of the pile that's left, what do I understand? And start there.
Right.
And I think another really important thing to avoid is anything that is going to lock your money up. So for me, I am firmly anti-annuity, purely because of the lockup features that are in there. They can be good for certain people, but we run into that a lot. I can't get my money back away from these people for 7 years or 5 years or whatever right. It is. So anything that's going to lock my money up, if I think I might need it, I don't want to be associated with.
Yeah, that seems a little daunting to have that commitment of, you know, handing it over and...
it's locked.
Right. What entices people to do that?
Normally, there's a guaranteed return of some sort. So it might be a 3% return. And what we've seen a lot lately is people who have had these CDs mature that they've held for years, and they got them a long time ago, and they had a good rate, and they go to the bank or they go to whoever they're at and say, well, what can you give me that still has a guaranteed return? And an annuity can do that, because what they're doing is they're taking your money and going and making more money in the stock market and only giving you a portion of it. But they guaranteed you that portion. So if what they made in the market drops, they still have to pay you. So those guarantees a lot of times are what are really attractive in those scenarios. Plus, you know, you can link them to life insurance. You can link them to certain benefits. There's pros and cons, and you got to be really careful about what you're actually buying, because everyone's different. But that's a much... deeper topic is that annuity world. I'm firmly against them, primarily because we see so many people. We just had a client, this is maybe a month or so ago, he can't get out of his annuity until he's 97. And it was just a CD. Like, he had gotten talked into a CD that had matured. What can you replace it with? And the family's sitting there going, we didn't even need that guaranteed return. But now we're locked into this product that we can't get the money back out of without significant penalties.
Right. Lots of good stuff here. We're coming in on the tail end of the podcast, so I want to thank folks for their questions. Mindy, thank you for the great question. Tommy, as always.
We'll compare stocks to wrestlers. You know, if we can get them on, we'll figure it out.
Come in, we'll talk wrestling.
Yeah.
GameStop, AMC.
That worked.
He swears there's going to be a second coming of movie theaters. It's going to be I don't know. We have many arguments about that, but he's pretty passionate about his point of view, so it'd probably be funny to get that recorded.
Yeah. The way you can throw it back in his face, that's or right. He can throw it in yours, one of the ways.
That's right. But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for the questions, and please send in more. Again, we want to use this as an outlet for anyone who... you know, has these questions that that need to be answered. And like Peter said before, everyone's kind of got the same questions. It's just who's going to reach out and be the one to ask it. So send those questions to connect@afiadvisors.com, or you can find us on all of our social outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, as long as it's still there, LinkedIn, YouTube, all the major ones. You know, we may just ramp up Twitter now. You know, we've confessed that we don't do well in that space, but maybe this rebirth, no holds barred, no regulations, we may just jump right in.
See if we can swim with the sharks.
That's right. But anyways, thanks again. This is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Go check out afiadvisors.com and send in those questions. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.